Ray shrugged as if he was waiting for something complicated. Harry Rex used the break in his monologue to eat sausage, then began stabbing the air again.
Second, what are you going to do with it? That's what's important. We're assuming nobody knows about the money, right?
Ray nodded and said, right, it was hidden. Ray could hear the windows being rattled. He could see the Blake and Sons boxes scattered and crushed. He couldn't help but glance through the window and look at his TT Roadster, packed and ready to flee.
If you include the money in the estate, half will go to the IRS.
I know that, Harry Rex. What would you do?
I'm not the right person to ask. I've been at war with the IRS for 18 years, and guess who's winning? Not me. Screw 'em.
That's your advice as an attorney?
No, as a friend. If you want legal advice, then I will tell you that all assets must be collected and properly inventoried pursuant to the Mississippi Code as annotated and amended.
Thank you.
I'd take $20,000 or so, put it in the estate to pay the upfront bills, then wait a long time and give Forrest his half of the rest.
Now that's what I call legal advice.
Nope, it's just common sense.
The mystery of the biscuits was solved when Harry Rex attacked them.
How about a biscuit?
He said, though they were closer to Ray. No thanks. Harry Rex sliced two in half, buttered them, added a thick layer of jam, then at the last moment inserted a patty of sausage.
You sure?
Yes, I'm sure.
Could the money be marked in any way? Only if it's ransom or drug money. Don't reckon Reuben Attlee was into those sorts of things, you?
Okay, spend $5,000.
You'll be pleased.
A small man with matching khaki pants and shirt stopped at the table and with a warm smile said, "Excuse me, Ray, but I'm Lloyd Darling." He stuck out a hand as he spoke. "I have a farm just east of town." Ray shook his hand and half stood. Mr. Lloyd Darling owned more land than anybody in Ford County. He had once taught Ray in Sunday school.
"So good to see you," Ray said.
"Keep your seat," he said gently, shoving Ray down by the shoulder. "Just wanted to say how sorry I am about the judge."
"Thank you, Mr. Darling."
"There was no finer man than Reuben Attlee. You have my sympathies."
Ray just nodded. Harry Rex had stopped eating and appeared to be ready to cry. Then Lloyd was gone, and breakfast resumed. Harry Rex launched into a war story about IRS abuse. After another bite or two, Ray was stuffed, and as he pretended to listen, he thought of all the fine folks who so greatly admired his father, all the Lloyd Darlings out there who revered the old man. What if the cash didn't come from the casinos? What if a crime had been committed, some secret, horrible sting perpetrated by the judge? Sitting there among the crowd in the coffee shop, watching Harry Rex but not listening to him, Ray Attlee made a decision. He vowed to himself that if he ever discovered that the cash now crammed into the trunk of his car had been collected by his father in some manner that was less than ethical, then no one would ever know it. He would not desecrate the stellar reputation of Judge Reuben Attlee. He signed a contract with himself, shook hands, made a blood oath, swore to God. Never would anyone know. They said goodbye on the sidewalk in front of yet another law office. Harry Rex bear hugged him, and Ray tried to return the embrace, but his arms were pinned to his sides.
"I can't believe he's gone," Harry Rex said, his eyes moist again.
"I know. I know." He walked away, shaking his head and fighting back tears. Ray jumped in his Audi and left the square without looking back. Minutes later, he was on the edge of town, past the old drive-in where porno had been introduced, past the shoe factory where a strike had been mediated by the judge, past everything until he was in the country, away from the traffic, away from the legend. He glanced at his speedometer and realized he was driving almost 90 miles an hour. Cops should be avoided, as well as rear-end collisions. The drive was long, but the timing of the arrival in Charlottesville was crucial. Too early, and there would be foot traffic on the downtown mall. Too late, and the night patrol might see him and ask questions. Across the Tennessee line, he stopped for gas and a restroom break. He had had too much coffee. and too much food. He tried to call Forrest on his cell phone, but there was no answer. He took it as neither good news or bad. With Forrest, nothing was predictable. Moving again, he kept his speed at 55, and the hours began to pass. Ford County faded into another lifetime. Everyone has to be from somewhere, and Clanton was not a bad place to call home. But if he never saw it again, he would not be unhappy. Exams were over in a week, then summer break. Because he was supposed to be researching and writing, he had no classes to teach for the next 3 months, which meant he had very little to do at all. He would return to Clanton and take the oath as executor of his father's estate. He would make all the decisions that Harry Rex asked him to make, and he would try to solve the mystery of the money.